Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the 2017 AEN Candidacy Preparation Training for June 8th. I want to play our theme song while I take attendance and our other callers get on the line. So be prepared to tell me what you believe. Amen.
In this time of desperation, when all we know is doubt and fear, there is only one foundation. We believe, we believe.
right, we believe. So we want to start this evening with prayer, and we would ask that, I don't know if Bishop's on the line or Pastor Harrington, Pastor Hook, Pastor Michael, any of our apostles on the line, will someone open us up in prayer? Oh, the wind's up?
Brother Parker here.
Amen, amen.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you in thanksgiving once again. We thank you for this day that you have made, God, and in this day we thank you, God, that regardless of what happened, we know we have rejoiced because you made it. And we want to say thank you. We thank you, God, for what you are about to do tonight. We ask to bless each speaker, God. Bless each ear listening to what's being said, oh, God, that we may learn and learn, oh, God, to esteem each other, one another, God, the God itself, the capacity that we hold. God, esteem them more than we do ourselves, oh, God. And we thank you for all blessing us already in all our endeavors. In your Son's precious name tonight we pray. Amen, amen, and thank God.
Amen. Thank you so much, Elder Parker. Everyone is live, and so we do ask that you put your phones on mute until and unless you would like to share, then take your phones off mute. It takes about 2 or 3 seconds for it to connect. So don't feel like you're talking and someone is still talking. We just aren't able to hear you instantly. So do not give up. Just, you know, give it a couple of seconds. And then if you have questions you want to ask, feel free to do so. That's why we're coming together. If there's something that you prefer to ask in a text, you can text it to me at 630-701-4303. All right. So we will start each week when we come together. Our format basically will look like our presentations will come first. Those that are presenting based on the apostolic declaration that Prophet Mike gave to us on the first day of our coming together. And this teaching that he gave us, should guide you, you know, in your path as you seek your vision and your mission, as you get clarity and you become more, very strongly built into it. Okay. You will take this teaching, and everyone is to study these verses. We just had a first round of individuals who have brought us teaching as the revelation they received, and we will continue. We'll go back to Noah's assignment, provision, and passion, and we will continue to revisit it at the beginning of each one of our phone conferences. Keep this study and these examples before your eyes always, and they will redirect you, they'll renew you, and they'll revive you when you would really get weary and discouraged in ministry, when you would feel overwhelmed or misunderstood and alone, or I just can't do it, or so many things are on my plate. These scriptural teachings are presented and were presented to you as decrees and declarations by the prophet at the beginning of your preparation for elevation. So all of you should study them and make them your banner, your flag, as you take the torch for God and you run with it. These scriptural teachings, the first was Noah's assignment from Genesis, and the second was provision from Nehemiah. And if it's one that you prefer to speak on, just text me. I want to do, and just tell me the one that you want to do, and you will be set up, the candidate will be set up to do it, and you'll do it in conjunction with your accountability partner. So you have Noah's assignment in Genesis. You have provision by Nehemiah. And today we have the passion coming out of 1 Samuel. So today the passion will be presented by Minister Young and Elder Dr. Arlette Parker. And we do ask that you do, 5-6 minutes in your presentation. And so you're on the line, Minister April, so you can go forth.
Good evening, everyone.
Amen.
We're coming from. I'm sorry?
I said, welcome back.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
So our scripture was 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter, verses 32 through 37, and then verses 47 through 49, which basically is the account of David and Goliath. And I'm not going to read, those verses, for sake of time, but I do encourage everyone to read them. Our topic is the passion of ministry. And so if we look at what passion is, the definition of passion is what energizes us. It's a fire that God ignites in us. It's a fervent, driving feeling of conviction with a sense of urgency. And so the source of our passion is God. If we look at Titus 2:14, it says that Jesus gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed, purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. And the word zealous is another word for being passionate. And so this reminds us that our passion comes from God. Our passion comes from a result of knowing God, loving God, and pursuing him. It is rooted in an awareness that we are totally dependent upon him. And we understand also that passion and purpose go together, because the purpose is what creates our passion. And so we have to understand that God has a unique purpose for each of us, and that relates to our personalities, our gifts, our talents, our abilities, et cetera. John 10:10, the Message version, says that my purpose is to give life in all its fullness. And then Romans 12:11, the Amplified, says never to lag in zeal and in earnest endeavor, but be aglow and burning with the Spirit, serving the Lord. We have, as leaders, we have to determine what is it that we're standing for. We have to identify our purpose, and we have to pursue it with a passion. And so if we look at the passage of David and Goliath, we know the story of how David kills Goliath, but the other part of this is that it's a story of perspective. And so we have to understand that sometimes the battles that we face can be obscured by our own misconceptions. The real message of this story is that things are not always as they seem. Remember when we looked in the 10th chapter of 1 Samuel, when the prophet Samuel had introduced Saul to the people, he said, "See you whom the Lord has chosen, there is none like him among the people." And so on the outside, Saul looked like he was fit to be king, just like Goliath looked like he was a warrior. And they were. But then David, on the other hand, he was a young shepherd boy who did not look like he was a king, neither a warrior, but he turned out to be both. And so what we see here is from the very beginning, when David comes into the battlefield, he hears what others are seeing, but he knew how to get beyond the appearances, and so he may come across as being cocky, but really he was being confident. He was not just looking past the obvious, but he was looking past to see the will of God. And he acted according to that. He's a young shepherd boy who ended up being king. He outmaneuvered his opponents facing the lion and the bear, with his slingshot. And so by the time he came before Goliath, he was strong, in his confidence. And so the battle was over before it even began because of David's word. He prophesied the outcome. When he said, "The Lord delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the bear, he's going to deliver me out of the hands of the Philistines." And so in other words, what happened is that the authority spoke, and so destiny slipped into gear as David moved forward. And so he reached deep inside for this strength that he had been storing up earlier when he was fighting the lion and the bear. And it was the Lord who fought the battle for him. David was passionate for God's glory. He is familiar with God's faithfulness, and he was dependent upon God's enabling. And so when he said in the 45th verse of 1 Samuel 17, he said, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." And so, in other words, David was expressing his assured expectation of success because he knew that victory would belong to the Lord. Something was driving him. Something was motivating him. Where everybody else was fearful, David was passionate. He was passionate for God's glory, and that gave him courage. You know, he was driven by desire to see God's name exalted. The other thing is that he was familiar with God's faithfulness. He knew that if God had delivered him in the past, then God was going to deliver him again. You know, and so remember that he had been a shepherd boy tending his father's sheep. But during that time, he had experienced God's presence, God's protection, and God's power. And so he learned lessons about God's power and his faith was in his private time when he was at home in the backyard. And, you know, and so as leaders, we have to be able to stand strong in the midst of a crisis when we have known God's faithfulness in the past. You know, David had courage and strength because he knew God's faithfulness, and he was dependent upon God's faithfulness to fight this giant. The other thing is that David was dependent upon God's enabling power. Obviously, David didn't have any warring experience, you know, but he had God on his side, and that was enough. Romans 8:31 says that if God is for us, who can be against us? And we know that it says that David took five smooth stones and slingshot. That's all he needed. All he needed was just one of those five stones, because with God behind it, that's all he needed. And God can, and that shows us that God can use the most insignificant thing to accomplish his will. 1 Corinthians 1:27-29 says that God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. He chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of the world and despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. And so the question I ask, or that I want to leave with you, is what's in your hand? What is it that you bring to the table for God to use? You know, because what is important is that whatever you have, make sure it's dedicated for the Lord to use. God is not looking for ability. He's simply looking for our availability. He's not looking for what we don't have. He's looking for what we do have. And he can take our simple skills and turn them to success, you know. And so if we look at David's life from the very beginning, it appeared that everything was going wrong against him. He was the youngest. He was, you know, rejected. He was reprimanded by his older brother. You know, the king, you know, Saul felt that he was too young. You have this Goliath who's mocking him and cursing him. So no one was on his side. No one believed him. But yet David did not let the criticism stop him. And so as leaders, we must not let criticism stop us. You know, we have to understand that when God is fighting for us, there's no reason for delay. We have to, all these things we have to do is be in position and be ready to move when God says move, despite of what people may be saying around us and maybe trying to discourage us. And so we have to ask ourselves as leaders, are we going to trust what man says about us, or are we going to believe what God can do? You know, ministry is a calling. It's not just a choice. It's a calling. And so when we're called to service, we're going to be spoken of negatively. You know, we're going to be opposed by people who we expect to support us. But we can't let that dissuade us. We have to keep going forth humbly with the work that God has called us to do. You know, one of the causes of I believe, of being burnt out, if we can use that for ministry, is that we have unrealistic expectations of people. What we have to do is keep our eyes on God and get his marching orders for our life. We simply need to be in position for the Holy Spirit to use us. And also remember that, you know, when we are anointed for a task and when the enemy tries to come against us, you know, that which people are saying against us and doing against us, they're really doing it against themselves. because the Bible says in Isaiah 54:17 that no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. And so it does, so it says the weapons that you form, but they're not going to prosper. And so we simply just need to remember to keep our eyes focused on God, you know, that our passion comes from the work he has called us to do. That's it.
Amen. Thank you very much.
Amen.
Amen. Yes.
Absolutely. Yes, and just to continue in that, one, when we begin to look at this passion and understanding as Elders stated, she said, our purpose drives our passion. And as an accountability partner and as an elder, and as we begin to recognize our responsibility, various responsibilities in this ordination season, I do encourage everyone to recognize David, first of all, as a type of Christ, but also recognize his equipment that caused him to have passion. And, but then, remember, he lost his passion. And I do encourage us to not lose our passion, because we can find that David was hiding in a cave. So he defeated a man. He was just a man. The Philistine was a man. And if we look at history, when the Philistines were defeated, because this after David defeated Goliath, Goliath was considered to be the champion of the Philistines. They eventually left the region and were driven into Africa. So they literally left the region. So we see an accomplishment from what Goliath called a cute boy, because Goliath referred to him as first as a boy and then as handsome. So this was a cute boy that he was defeated by the first stone that he pulled out his bag, which was of faith. And then when we recognize what David had in his other hand was his slingshot. And his slingshot was his weaponry as a shepherd. And when we recognize our tools in our calling, so oftenly we leave our tools that we grew up with or that we grew into the ministry with for what we come to know from the world, which was an example of Goliath's sword, was an example of the world, first of all. And so what we have to begin to see is that David had his slingshot, which is an example of Moses had a rod. We're talking about the staff. All of these leaders had tools in their hand of their calling. So and David had his slingshot, which he used to sling the first stone, which came out of his mouth, which was the stone of faith. And so we need to press forward and not lose our faith, and we won't lose our faith if we don't waver in our weaponry. And one way we waver in our weaponry is when we begin to look at the world's tools, which is what Saul told David. Saul told David, you can't go after him. You know, you are not gifted or skilled in what the world calls for a soldier to be gifted in. And so we have to begin and stay grounded in what the Lord has told us individually and collectively, our gifting, calling, and anointings are. Not look to the left and look to the right, wonder why my gift is not like such and such, or why my it doesn't come out like A, B, or C. We can't look to that. We have to know, as David had that initial passion of, I don't care. you know, okay, fine, I'm shorter than my brothers, and, you know, all I was supposed to do was bring them stuff, and, you know, and then, you know, everybody mocks him as a shepherd boy, but let's keep it real. As a shepherd boy, he was in charge of his father's flock, which in all actuality is part of his father's wealth. So let's remember that. So he was being trained up. But staying on task, in terms of his passion, I do want us to recognize that he lost his passion. And he fled. And even in his distress and in his fear, because he looked around at Saul, who was hunting him down, and looking at Saul's army, even though he had this great victory in his mindset, and we all have them. God gives us all stepping stones to stand upon for our next. But we have to look for grace and mercy, and that is what David had even in the cave. Because even in the cave, we'll find that David still had favor because he had a place to send his mama and his daddy. So even when we look to the left or to the right, you know, we believe we've fallen short in terms of our gifting, callings, and anointing, our God is still and always been omniscient, omnipresent. And he is merciful. So he comes back, and he sends David even into his cave a remnant. You know, he sent him the those who were in debt and those who were discontent and those who were fearful, which are the same ones that went and sat at Jesus' feet. And so we do have to remember that, you know, so God still was found use, still found a place to bring David back in to relationship, back into vision, back into perspective. So when we lose focus, when we think and we look to the left and look to the right, you know, as Peter out on the water, and we begin to sink. You know, whether we're sinking or we find ourselves running in a cave, or you know, we decide that, you know, we're going to be bedside Baptist people, you know, or whether we decide that, you know, I'm just not going to finish my paperwork. Whatever it is, God knew it. And he's going to light a flame again. Because as he even gave David in the cave a word, leave up out of here. It's time to go. And I encourage every ordinee and every accountability partner, it's time to get up. It's time to be encouraged. It's time to recognize the flame that has been ignited underneath us in our midst, whether it's our stuff that's been set on fire because he decided to kill that which we have been looking at. Whether it's our anointing that is based upon our flesh, because it has been fueled by our understanding, because the scales are still upon our eyes. And in this season, you know, whether you're accountability partner or an ordinee, and he's going to remove those scales and cause us to see ourselves, see that which he desires for us to take the next step into. Because I'm a firm believer in this ordination process, and I am a product of growth as an accountability partner and as the ordinee. You will get out of it more than you can ever believe you are putting into it. If you, as David was called, come out the cave, or to stop looking at what the enemy has. And that amen means our time is up.
No,
but
no,
it is well,
amen.
And okay. But yes, but do know that one of the reasons why David had to take Goliath's head with his own sword was to kill the law, to
amen.
Establish that the law had no place, which is why David could be seen by the soldiers who would not go after Goliath as sent by God.
No, leave it in.
Because the law had to be severed.
Stop.
As his head was severed, the law was severed. And once again, when Christ came, he severed the law of Satan. He severed the head of Satan. He is defeated.
Come here.
For us, just as Goliath was defeated for the Israel, the people of Israel.
Larry, will you all
pray? Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. It is a lot of rich teaching that you're going to receive. We're going to have Bishop speak to you. We talked last week about your offices and what you were being elevated. Sorry? Your offices and what you were being elevated.
Come here. Stay over here.
Some of it.
Dede is going to take you to the bathroom and go with her. I'm coming in a few minutes. Listen to Dede. Go. I love you.
Okay. So we're going to let
Are you ready for me?
Direct his family. Yes.
Okay. I'm sorry. I am definitely on the highway, and my earphones are horrible. So let
me
know.
Well, you want us to wait till next week?
No, I can talk. I just need to, I can definitely talk about it. I just want you to make sure that it's clear.
Okay, I hear you clearly.
Yes. You are clear.
Oh, okay. Well, that will work. Well, I definitely loved it. I was listening to Elder and Minister, and I just thought it was real good. And so this is what I definitely want to kind of do. If you don't mind, I want you to kind of throw a topic out, an office, so that this way I can kind of go from there.
Amen.
So I won't be all over the place.
Absolutely. We're going to put out there for those that are on the line.
I'm sorry, say that one more time.
We're going to put the office out there for those that are on the line of an elder.
JJ, you got the right guest?
Mom, yes, I got the right guest. No, it is not Diesel. It better not be Diesel. Yeah, I'm back. I'm sorry. Thank you.
No problem.
All right, so what's the first one?
Elder.
You said elder? You said elder?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, this is really horrible. Oh, God, help me. All right. So what we and this is live on radio. This always makes good radio. You all forgive me. I just left the graduation. All right.
Amen.
So when we look. Yes, big shout out to CC Clark, who graduated from the fifth grade. I've been driving. I'm tired of driving. So when we're looking, well, the first thing I want to say is I want people to definitely look at it from two perspectives. And the first perspective I want people to look at it from is when you have been called, I want you to look at the call from not only the church, that your leader has found confidence in you, your leader sees something in you, and your leader is confirming what God has already spoken. But I also want people to look at it from what we will call the ecumenical perspective or the apostolic ecumenical perspective on which you are all being ordained or consecrated in. And so because it's a bigger picture and it's not just overall, but it's overall. And therefore, there are some things that are being required of you that God sees because he understands that time is winding up and he is into the business or his desire is to make sure or fulfill his covenant or his promise that every soul has to be saved. Not has to be saved, but it is his desire for all souls to be saved. And that's the beauty of this picture. And so he has these hands, he has these extensions, and they are called you. And as a result of that,
as a result of him calling you, you're going to play a most critical part. And so I love when, I believe it was Elder Arlette said, you got to come out the cave. We have no more, I don't want to say we have no more time. There's a bunch of time. The Ancient of Days got all the time in the world. But this is really time for us to come out the cave. And everyone who gets to this point in ministry has to answer the question. Am I going to forsake the world and do what God has called me to do? Or am I going to continue to have these doubts, questions, and my own desires and just kind of hem and haw and sit back? And so when you're at this line, you have to make that decision that I'm going to forsake all that I know so that I can pick up my cross and begin to carry it so that others around me will be blessed and that they will be they will be blessed and they will be filled. So when I look at the elder, and when we're looking at the elder, what is an elder? Well, the elder is an office position, okay? The elder is an office position. And so, therefore, if it's an office, if you know anything about an office is typically designed to do some form of work. So the base scripture that we're going to start off with would always be automatically Ephesians 4:11-12. And so God gave some apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, evangelists for, and here's the verse, for the perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry, and the edification of the body. And so you have these elders, and the best picture that I can give for the elder is that they are the watchmen. I want you to see this city, and at the gates, you have these towers, and this is where the elder would sit at. The elder helps the leader, if you will, in this case, the apostle or the senior pastor. The elder would be there at that gate because they play a double function, if you will. Not only are they tending to the house, but or tending to what's going on inside the gate, they are also tending to what's occurring outside the gate. And so, therefore, this is why they're the watchmen. The watchman is always positioned to see from every point, north, south, east, west. You have a north tower, you have a south tower, you have an east tower, you have a west tower. And so you have these things that are positioned and that they are there, and they are designed to help the ministry continue. So it's kind of a dual role where the elder has a public ministry, and not only has a public ministry, but also has that in-house ministry as well. And it's always going to look different, and it's going to look phenomenal. And so the office of the elder, and there is criteria that's in Timothy as well as the book of Titus, and it talks about there are some things that elders should do, certain things elders should see. Elders are watchmen. They watch. They assist. They also help in the judgment and guide the organization, if you will, or the ministry. They also help guide by providing insight, which is different, somewhat different from a pastor, because a pastor is one of the extension gifts, and a pastor is typically specializing in, if I want to use that, over a particular flock. And so their role is going to look different. They're not typically at the gate, if you will, or the watchtower, but they are walking through the valleys. They are walking through the kingdom, if you will, or the land that has been provided, and they are given a certain group, or they are tending to a certain group, and they stand at the gate of the sheepfold. And so, therefore, they are responsible. So they're going to, as Psalms 23 says, they are going to lead individuals beside still waters. They're going to lead them to green pastures. They're going to restore their soul, or they're going to provide healing, herbs, medicine, all types of wonderful things to help these individuals get to where, or help the sheep get to the position, and to the position that God has created. them to be. They're going to do some cutting of the wool. They're going to shave. They're going to, you know, they're going to fight off bears and lions. It just depends. It's all about the position. While the elder at the watchtower can sit there, I'm not going to say sit there, but it's positioned in a way where they see what's happening, and because of their position, they know how to apply perfect judgment and resources that will assist the pastor to be able to do their ministry effectively. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Yes.
Okay.
We're gonna do just do one a week so that we can give them questions and answers, question and answer period, and to get a feel for what they believe is their area of eldership.
Okay.
Now, we know that one elder, the area of eldership is in the area of administration and what that looks like to and for a minister and a pastor, a ministry and a pastor, and how that assists the shepherd in performing all of the duties necessary to get the sheep to a good place. Then we have an elder that is with an emphasis in prophetic intercessor. So we have a lot. We have two. I think we have one. I'm not sure her area. So, Kamisha Barrett, you're on the line because you're going to present today. So what is your area of ministry? Kamisha? Am I saying it right? Yeah, Kamisha.
Are you saying Kamisha or Kaitha? Because I think you said Kaitha last week.
Okay, well, you know, okay, Kaitha is presenting. And so you can tell us what your area of ministry is well, because you are being elevated to the office of an elder. So what is your area? What is your gifting? That's why the gift assessments and things are so important. Yes, go ahead.
This is Kamisha, but my area right now is member care and pastoral care is my area of ministry right now.
So she's getting ordained as an elder in the ministry of pastoral care, and what was the other one?
Member care.
Member care. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
No, those are good. That's actually a perfect question. So you have this administration, you have this prophetic intercessor, I believe, and you have pastoral care as well as member care. Say that again?
Right. Yes. Kaitha, what is your area? Kaitha.
Yes. I don't know. my area is administration. I am technically chief ministry officer, but I do praise and worship. I'm the praise and worship lead and education.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right, Bishop.
Okay. Wow, man, it gets complicated and more complicated each year. In a good way.
Yes.
And I
think
it's
specialty.
No. I think it's great because the function of the elder still doesn't change. Once again, because elders also are serving as, let me say, minor overseers, if I can say that. They're overseeing some things. And when I said minor, because you typically have a general overseer. And so the general overseer would have elders who will assist them so that as they are assisting them, they put individuals, once again, at this watchtower to say, look, I want you to watch this. I want you to oversee this. I want you to come and report to me. So if it's administration, for example, this individual is now working in the office of administration. And so what does that mean? What does that look like? Well, it looks like administrating. It means, for example, It's not just organizing. It's not just filing papers. It's about helping the work of the ministry administer whatever is necessary in that capacity. So, for example, if it's a food drive, the elder of administration would understand what is needed so that the food drive can be able to be effective. So if it's flyers, if it's making sure that they have enough staffing or people or they have the equipment or making sure that the paperwork has been turned in. Because remember, it's a public ministry, and so only knowledgeable about what goes on in the house, but they also understand what goes on outside of the house or how the world works. So they understand that you have to go to the county offices and get certain licenses and permissions, if you will, or whatever they're called, to be able to function in a capacity that helps. And if they're not going, then they know how to administratively have another person get to that area to get the paperwork done. But they still would oversee it to make sure it's done. You see what I mean? And this is how we serve God, by knowing what office that we're working in. Now, it doesn't change the fact that God has gifted you to be an evangelist. Well, right now, we're not talking about preaching the gospel and, you know, trying to win souls. We're going to do that because that's the gift that lies within you. But as you're working through the office of an elder, you're going to make sure that those things that you have been gifted and called is effective enough so that when it's time to evangelize, it's going to come together like clockwork. So you're an elder over the prophetic intercessory, if you will. Well, your first duty is to understand what is prophetic interceding and what is that, what it entails, and which means if you're an elder in there, then your insight in that particular office is going to sit there and is going to say, you know what, as a prophetic intercessor, and I am now walking in the office of the elder, I'm at the tower. And so prophetically, as I'm interceding, as I'm watching, I see where the attacks are getting ready to come. I hear what is necessary. I'm on watch. I'm standing there. And so I can see it because I'm constantly in prayer. I'm constantly interceding. And so I can look from every angle. This way I can warn the body, as well as going on as I am given direction to. And so, I mean, it's really understanding the gifts and understanding how the office works. Pastoral care. So, I mean, I think it's still going to get to the same point. But it's being sure. You got to be confident about this. You have to make this calling an election sure. It is one of those things where we have to really get beyond, well, I think it's this. No, you have to know. Tell me. Because if I have to tell you what it is, then I'm going to expect you to do what I have pictured in my mind. But if God has called you to do this and you are flowing in it and you see the power and the advancement in it, then you have to walk confidently. Because what we think is menial is not. It is important and it is necessary. And so that's why you're called to these offices, called to these positions, so that you can, once again, perfect the saints, do the work of the ministry, and edify the body, as well as be a light and a witness to the rest of the world what is needed and necessary. I hope that answers.
Yeah, and I think it did a wonderful job, and I would just want to add to that is that you got to keep your focus on the fact that you are the elder for a ministry or a pastor, and so you're doing that as it relates to a ministry or a pastor, and in overseeing, you have to report. You may not necessarily initiate, but you would report that which you have observed so that they would be equipped to whoever the leaders, the apostles, the pastor, whoever the leaders of the ministries are, so that they become aware of something that exists in your particular area that you spotted.
Exactly,
And then you equip them to then give direction through you to whatever needs to happen. And so it really is that 50 joined together. We're not renegades. We're not loners. We're not, the Lone Ranger. We have to be linked and connected to an authority. We're not talking to a pop. We have to be, and they have an authority as well. But in these offices we are elevating into licensure or ordination, you are connected to a leader, and you become that person that, not necessarily the one that referred you, but the one under whom leadership you get your covering and your training and your teaching from. And so you are subject to them. And as elders, you're to be an asset in that you communicate with the leadership so that the flow becomes uninterrupted. So even before the sheep get there, the offices have worked in unity to provide whatever's going to be needed when they get there. Prophetically, you see it, you know it. The land is crooked, and this person's coming, that person. So you inform the leaders, and then the leader can put something in place there. Let's teach them, and let's equip them to learn how to fight, whatever it is. And so by the time they get there, then it's all been handled. It's all been accounted for. It's all been settled and done. And so I thank you, Bishop. I understand your hands are full, and we'll go through some more offices on other meetings, so that we can really get clarity to the candidate of their specific walk, gifting, and gift mix and calling. And this will be very customized, and I just want to share with the ones on the line, during your training on the site at the conference in August. So all of these things, one of the things I saw very interesting today is that we have to always see God in what's happening. And when I looked down on the paper and I saw last week we're trying to figure out, okay, who's going to do passion? They have to be group two, da-da-da-da-da. I said, okay, Elder Arlette Parker and Minister Young. And so when Minister Young started speaking, I was reminded, Minister Young, what is the name of your ministry?
My ministry is Unleash the Fire Ministry.
Unleash the Fire. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And the fire, that's that passion. You know, what is it you do on Friday?
My passion is basically stirring up the gifts within individuals, you know, and helping them to recognize what their gifts and callings are and activate them in that.
Absolutely. And so she was given that passion. And that wasn't from me. God gave her that part of our spiritual, scriptural preparation, that passion. And these four elements that the prophet gave us when we started are going to be expounded on by those that are group two, which means you've been here, you've been this way before, and you are settled in this kind of learning and surrendering to God. And so we need you to bring out the experience that's in you because you've been in your ministry. So I just wanted to point that out, how God gave passion to a person whose ministry is stir up the gifts. And Fire Friday, everything is about fire. It's about that passion. And so I don't want to go too much beyond our time, but I do want to get to the elements of accountability. And again, next week we're going to continue with the offices, and we'll do pastors next week because we have, about six being elevated into that office. So next week we'll do pastors. We did elders this week. And so I do want the presenting team for the elements of accountability to come forth. And this week is Kaita, please, did I say it right? Winthrop Johnson. And actually, Elder Deborah Wilson is going to share as accountability partner for Minister Jan Tenz. So it is on you. You can take
is it on me, Taisha?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So as scripture, our scripture was, here it is, Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. And it reads, "Do not judge, lest you be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you." So, as I was looking this over, I looked at the general text, and I realized that this was a part of the Sermon on the Mount. And, of course, we all know that on the Sermon on the Mount, they covered a multitude of topics, and they started with the Beatitudes. And then as we get closer to the text that I just read, Christ begins to speak on giving to the poor and fasting and being anxious and worried. And then he goes into chapter 7 and starts with a warning. And that warning is, do not judge others, so you won't be judged. Because the same standard of judgment that you make is going to be used in order to judge you. And in this particular text, Christ is not speaking about having sound judgment, like in Matthew 16:3, when he says, you know, you can decide the seasons and the time, but you can't decide that, you know, things are changing in life. So not decisiveness, but rather he's talking about krino, which means to condemn or punish or to call into question. And so Christ is basically saying to us, don't call into question or judge other people about their issues, because the same degree of condemnation that you have on them is going to be used against you. And Christ just talked about how to give and fast and not worry. And those are some of the biggest issues that we see sometimes in ministries, in the church body, you know, how to give and how much to give and fasting. And, you know, lots of us are worried and we're always telling people, you know, give it to God. And so these are really everyday, you know, topics. And he tells us right after that, when he's teaching us how to do those things or how to go about those things, he warns us, now don't you judge, or it's going to be used to judge you. And I thought that was very interesting, because it's almost like, I know that you're thinking about all these things that I've just taught you, but I want you to understand that the standard that I give you, you don't have a right to turn around and judge other people with. And even in his statement in verses 1 and 2, he follows with, you know, there is a speck in your neighbor's eye, but you got a log in your own eye. Well, you can't get the speck out of somebody else's eye until you fix the log in your own eye. And so with respect to our accountability partnerships, there are going to be things that we share that are on a personal level about where we are emotionally, spiritually, mentally, and even physically. And, you know, when we are having that conversation, we have to be careful not to judge. So in terms of accountability partners, not judging the candidate about whatever the candidate shares. And then the candidate shouldn't fear judgment because it is an open conversation. That's the purposes of the conversation. But then vice versa. The candidate should not judge anything that is shared or revealed from the accountability partners in. And the accountability partner should not be fearful to share testimony or different things, worrying about being judged. Because if you do so, it's going to bring condemnation, which is of the enemy. And instead, it's supposed to bring exhortation. The whole point is for us to share in the relationship. So that we can exhort one another, motivating each person in one of the following ways. Either we're gleaning the wisdom from what's learned and we grow, which you find in Titus 2, or we are to see the needs of the other individual and pray for them, which is found in Ephesians 6:18. So that's all that I have.
that is very well stated and presented. Elder Deborah, did you want to add? Or?
You know what? Minister Kaita did such an excellent job. There really is nothing else to add. I think she covered all the bases, the whole idea for transparency. But the to remember that as folks are paired together, we have different walks of life. There may be different age groups. There may be different denominational tenets, and those kinds of things. But it is very, very important to not judge, to actively pray and listen to the Holy Spirit and be open so that we can hear. You know, that whole piece of this whole accountability partnership is to be an active listener, so to really be able to hear somebody's heart and to understand that whatever somebody else might be going through, that might not have been our experience, but we can trust that the Holy Spirit will give us what we need, you know, if we are trusting and obeying and discerning what the Spirit is saying to us and what to give and how to minister to our candidate or vice versa to our accountability partner. But I think it was an excellent call, so thank you. I have nothing else.
Amen, amen. So next week we will look forward to Keika Christian and Pastor Bethel Williams bringing us the active listener from James 1:19. The active listener from James 1:19. And we want to also ask, are there any questions? Take your phones off mute on the offices, what was shared about the elder, your particular place of elevation and what that looks like. Are there any questions? So as you're thinking, whether or not you have any questions. Yes. And you are?
Yes, this is Minister Kaita. Minister Kaita.
Yes. Yes.
My question is in regards to the vision and mission statement. And I know I submitted mine already, but I want to make sure I have an accurate understanding based on what was shared this evening concerning the elder piece. So when we give the mission and vision, is this the vision that we have as it relates to or underneath the wing, I don't know what, the umbrella, if you will, of the ministry that we are serving in as an elder? Or is this the mission and vision that we may see beyond that, if that makes sense?
Okay. Yes, that makes perfect sense. And it's always yours. Yours should fit into the one that you're serving in, because God's going to fit you into the ministry for the vision that you have. And so what you share should be that which is, and you think you can share them both. You can share how yours will fit with your leader's vision and mission. And so, but definitely share yours. Now, if you want to make an adjustment to it, you can. You can send it in. That's not a problem. However, we're going to have Elder Yvette will contact you. She's reviewed them, and she'll get in contact with you. And you guys can, you know, go over what you sent, and you can share with her, you know, what you feel, and she can make the assessment as to, you know, if you want, you can always submit it again. That's not a problem. If you want to add to it or tweak it, if you will, because this is an ongoing process, and that's a good thing. And I encourage you to take your original and make inserts and deletions and whatever to them, because that's the whole point of preparation and training. So absolutely, absolutely, absolutely.
Okay, thank
you. Okay, so she will follow up with you on that point. So next week we said we told who was going to do the accountability. Now, is next one down my list here. Is Minister Talitha Cousin on the line? Okay. Genesis Dixon, Mildred Bailey. Pastor Diatro Ford. Okay. Minister Katie Smith. If their accountability partners are on the line, you need to contact your candidate. And actually next week, Minister Katie and her accountability partner, LaTanya Saunders, and Evangelist Janice Poole, are going to address the topic of spiritually support or refute this statement. I can teach on topics that I have no personal experience with. This is your question that you're going to bring to us. Scripturally support or refute this statement. I can teach on topics that I have no personal experience with. And so as we give out these questions and for presentation, anyone that wants to do Noah's assignment, provision, passion, or garment, please text me, and so we can put you on the schedule for presentation. And then the other ones that are going to do for accountability partner, Minister Sharita will get that list out, and you can see further in advance as to who is next. But next Thursday will be Kika Christian and Pastor Bethel Williams. The following week is going to be Sister Mildred Bailey and Pastor Linda Barnes. That's for the next 2 weeks. So with that said, we will end this week's phone conference. Unless you have any questions, concerns, any questions or concerns, we encourage you to get your paperwork in. You got a deadline coming up of June 10th or 15th, depending on which one of the forms you're looking at. But you should have everything in by then other than your question. So we do encourage you to complete your paperwork. And register if you have not for the conference that's held from August 17th through August 20th. It's mandatory for all candidates to be there, accountability partners, if at all possible, and committee members as well, because you have a 3-day track that is specifically geared to your preparation, along with your examination and other information that you are going to need. You receive registration forms from Minister Sharita. If you do not have one, you can contact the office, 773-779-2900, or you can contact me. My contact information is in your 2017 ordination schedule information sheet, packets, more than one sheet. So if there are no more questions, then we will ask someone to close us out in prayer.
Minister Pastor. Father, we come before you tonight to say Thanksgiving. We ask that, God, the word that we share tonight, that which our ears have heard, God, let it find a lodging place in our heart, O God, and let the Spirit continue, O God, to set it ablaze. God, that we may continue to be real, to do what we've been called to do. We thank you, we love you, we praise you, O God, for especially technology, which allow us to come together spiritually. Lord, we do thank you for all things and in all things. And we thank you, O God, for giving us that spirit of boldness that we may go forth and do great things. God, because you have given each and every one of us great ability. And we ask right now, God, that you give us the wisdom to use it for the gain of your kingdom. We thank you for the many blessings continually, O Lord, to allow ourselves to be receptive of it all. We thank you, we love you, we praise you. In your Son's precious name we pray. Amen, amen, and thank God.
Amen, and thank you so much, Elder. I appreciate you stepping
in.
Praise the Lord, and we pray that you will enjoy, embrace, and obey the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And we will come together again next week, which will be June 15th at 7, and make sure you let your accountability partners know and let your candidates know. They are to be on the line. And those that have been given assignments, make sure you let them know that they have an assignment if you are their accountability partner. Thank you so much. God bless. And good night.
Good night.
Good night.